It's August 2015. Jeffrey and five of his friends went on a wilderness camping, hunting, fishing trip in northern Canada in the Yukon, a 14-day trip that they will never forget. Shopping to find your thing? Is your thing stickers, t-shirts, posters? Is your thing wall art, clothing, home and living, phone cases? Are you shopping for your kids and babies? How about stationery? Many, many other gifts. You can find all these at Redbubble, redbubble.com. Get the app and save 20% at redbubble.com. Find your thing. Click on the link in the show notes. That's Redbubble, redbubble.com.
Need something delivered? Do you need dinner? Groceries? Did you forget to stop and buy that bottle of tequila? Postmates is here for you. If you haven't tried Postmates before, we have a great deal for you. Just by setting up a new account and using the code INDIEFOOD, you will be eligible for $100 in delivery fee credits for the first 7 days of your membership. Don't wait. Go to Postmates.com and use the code INDIEFOOD. That's INDIEFOOD. Postmates. Anything, anytime, anywhere. Postmate it.
And remember, whenever you click on the links of Redbubble or Postmates in the show notes, the Indie Blast Podcast Network, it's a little bit of proceeds from the items you buy, and that helps keep our lights on at our podcast. So thank you very much for that. In 2015, when Jeffrey and five of his friends decided to go on a camping trip in northern Canada, in the Yukon, it is a very remote, off-the-grid type of place. No running water, no electricity. Basically, you're cut off from the outside world from the moment you land. After landing in Calgary International Airport, then Jeffrey and his friends boarded a plane to Whitehorse, Whitehorse, Canada. This is in the northern district of the Canadian Territories. And the only way to get to this small island, small lake that they landed on, is by a float plane. A float plane is a plane that can land on water, and it's not a very big plane. So they ask you to pack just what you need, your essentials, no overpacking. But the main thing you should have, a survival kit, a compass, things to start a fire with, a first aid bandage. You might as well keep your cell phone at home because you can take photos, that's about it. No cell towers. So once you're dropped off for your 14-day stay, you're basically on your own until the plane comes back and picks you up. And hopefully the plane is there in 14 days. Sometimes with heavy fog, severe weather, the plane can be delayed, but they won't forget about you. They know you're there. I was asked to go on this trip by a friend of mine, and a trip would cost roughly $5,000 per person. This covers your airfare, a two-way trip, from Cleveland to Calgary, your small plane, your float plane, and the rental of the cabin you're staying in. Like I said, there's no running water, there's no electricity, so you want to make sure you have all the essentials you need, and most of the food and water get on your own. I decided not to take the trip, and probably a good thing. And we'll get into their 14-day experience. Like I said, after landing in Calgary, then they took a smaller flight into Whitehorse. And then from Whitehorse, they went to their destination in the Yukon. The Yukon is just a lot of water, small lakes, large lakes, wilderness, animals. And as Jeffrey said, the one thing you definitely want to have with you is mosquito repellent. For anybody who has went camping in Alaska or Canada, you wouldn't think about the mosquito problem, but as he put it the first day there, he seen a moose pretty close, and the whole end of the moose's nostrils were covered with, he said, probably 200 or 300 mosquitoes. You can hardly even see his nose. And you can get pretty well sucked dry on your first day there by the mosquitoes. So, and in their case, it was very muggy that day in Canada and humid, a light rain. But after the pilot let them off in a small island, like I said, they were on their own. In the first day, they just basically settled in and made the cabin their own. They ate a little bit of the canned food portions they had brought with them. Nothing heavy the first day. Drank some wine. I guess that was an essential. And without thinking, the pilot told them this on the way to their destination, was make sure you don't leave any discarded food outside the cabin. This makes for like a magnet to bear, moose, and other critters that'd be lurking in the woods. And when they got up the next morning, the whole outside of there, where they had left their garbage outside the can, was totally trashed. Muddy bear paws all the way up to the porch deck. So they learned the first night to not leave their food or scrappings outside. They buried or burnt wherever they could. On their second day, after settling in and getting a good night's sleep, they all went out fishing for their food for that evening. And he said that the salmon was plentiful, the northern pike, very delicious. And they had no problem the first day catching fish. Matter of fact, all six of them had plentiful fish, actually for 2 or 3 days. So 2 days went, and it was uneventful, really. Just enjoying the wilderness, enjoying each other's company. But then things turned sour from then on out. It rained almost every single day. The fishing had seemed to stop. I mean, if they caught a fish, it was one fish for the day. They were, per person, they were lucky. So they were starting to get very hungry. They couldn't find enough wildlife to eat. So by the fourth day, Jeffrey was getting a little bit worried. He's been hunting before, and he wasn't worried about starving, but he was, for some reason, he says, extremely hungry. Well, as they went out fishing on the third day, they came back to the cabin, and each one blamed each other for leaving the door not latched. But whatever food and belongings they had inside the cabin was totally gone or trashed. It looked like a bear or bears got into the cabin, ransacked it, and whatever edible food they had in bags or cans, it was gone. So now they're totally had a mess to clean up. And usually if a bear knows where there's a smorgasbord, they're going to come back. And another rule of thumb is you never feed the bear or the wildlife, because they will come back. They do know where there's food. And that's exactly what happened. For the next 3 days, they've had to fend off mainly the bear cubs that would come in. And if there's a cub, there's mama bear somewhere nearby. They did have weapons with them. They didn't really want to use on defending themselves, but in one case they had to. Heading into the second week of their trip, things even got a little bit stranger. Jeffrey's one friend, Billy, said he kept thinking somebody was staring at him every time he would go just inside the tree line to relieve himself. He thought there was a creature looking at him. And everybody would say, you know, maybe you have a bottle left over from that wine that you didn't share with everybody. Yeah, right, you know. So he said, no, I'm serious. I actually seen it looked like a bear standing straight up, walking towards me, then turning and walking the other way. I was, are you saying you seen Bigfoot? Naturally, with everybody laughing and joking, he didn't want to say, yes, it was Bigfoot, but yes, it was Bigfoot. So he just described it as a bear. So now they're on the lookout for, even though they joked about it, the thought of Bigfoot or a creature that size outside their cabin area was a little disturbing, plus the fact that the bear kept coming back for food. Well, the fishing picked up. There was a couple kills they made that they had they could cook over the fire. So they were doing okay food-wise. But then it was on the Next to the last night before they left the Yukon, Jeffrey decided to stay outside a little bit longer than the others and just warm himself by the fire. At first he thought he heard some crackling of the twigs in the trees behind him, and he turned. He thought that looked like an animal, but then just disappeared. He got up to investigate a little bit more, and there was nothing there. That was basically it. Sat back down and dozed off. Dozed off in his chair by the fire. The cabin did have wooden chairs that were built in around the fire. And as Jeffrey puts it, he was sleeping very heavy, and he felt something tugging at his foot. When he opened his eye, it was like, as he describes it, like baby Bigfoot. I mean, the baby Bigfoot was probably about 4 foot tall. Kind of looking at him, sizing him up, like, what the hell is this? So as you're looking at Bigfoot, thinking the same thing, that's what Junior Bigfoot was looking at Jeffrey. But he didn't want to move or call for his buddies. He just sat there silent. And next thing you know, there was another smaller Bigfoot. And then came the mama. Well, he's assuming it was the mother. All three now standing there, staring at him with their heads cocked, like, you're in their spot, and what are you doing here? Now, two of the smaller Bigfoots were pulling on his pant leg to see if he could move. As the mother was approaching him, the cabin door swung open as the three turned and ran into the woods. At that point, there was a shotgun blast that came from the cabin. He didn't want to fire it towards Jeffrey, afraid that he might hit him, but he fired a gun into the air to scare them off. He said it looked like three bear that came upon Jeffrey, because all he could see was the fur running. But he says it's kind of strange, because they were all running straight up, like standing straight up. He never seen that before. It was that point that Jeffrey said they were not a bear. What came the following day, as they're packing their belongings and waiting for the pilot to come back, they were trying to decide how to, or if to, say what they saw. The plane ride back to Calgary was about an hour. On that plane ride, the pilot asked, well, how was your 14-day into the wilderness, off-grid? And they all said they did fine, fishing, hunting, nothing extraordinary happened. And just out of the blue, the pilot said, well, he didn't see Bigfoot? And he laughed about it. They laughed about it also. But right after they landed, we're saying their goodbyes to the pilot and thanking him for picking them up, gave him a small tip. Pilot said, seriously, almost every single person that I bring back has a tale about Bigfoot. Got on the plane and took the next group to their destination. Now, Jeffrey kept this quiet from me for about 5 years. It wasn't until just recently that, with all the sightings of Bigfoot and the paranormal investigators out there that investigate Bigfoot, did he come forward and asked if he could share his story, but didn't want to use his last name. The funny thing is, I know three different people that took wilderness trips like this. One in Alaska, two in Canada, and all three of their names were Jeff. And I know for a fact that the one Jeff in Alaska that took the Alaskan trip, he witnessed Bigfoot in Alaska. So there you go. One in Alaska, one in Canada. They were spotted in basically all over the United States in the wilderness. So are they amongst us, or is it your mind playing tricks on you out in the wilderness, away from the city lights? Let me know. Have you seen Bigfoot? Have you been on a camping trip like this? Have you been in the wilderness, in the brush, and been on your own for 14 days, lived off grid? What have you seen? What have you experienced? Cooley54@gmail.com. I'm your host, Al Cooley, for Ghost in the Valley Podcast, a member of the Indie Blast Podcast Network. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.